Hello, and welcome to Pranks, Pints, and Protests, 50 Years of Student Life at Newcastle, a series of three podcasts exploring the relationship between students and people in the local area. This podcast looks at student social life.
How much has this changed over the last 50 years? Listen to students, both past and present, talk about their memories of the Students' Union and the infamous Student House Party. Hear both sides of the story from local residents and students on how social life has changed in this university city.
For many students in the 1950s, university was a time of first experiences, such as socializing with the opposite sex and drinking outside of parents' watchful gaze. Pamela Ranson and Jeffrey Marsh, both students in the 1950s, tell us about their experiences.
The very first impression I always remember was sitting next to girls. Now, I'd never been educated with girls. I'd been to an all-boys independent school. The other impression, I suppose, was of the social side of things. Every Saturday night at the Union, there was a thing called SNEC, Saturday Night Entertainment Club. And there was a dance, and there was drinking, of course, which I'd never done before. That was new.
Saturday night entertainment, SNEC it was called, I don't know what it's called now at the university, it was a Saturday night dance, that was different, but you still dressed up for it. You wouldn't have gone in jeans. I didn't even indulge much in dancing, I never liked it, but it was a way of meeting the lads. Well, there was a variety. You had some country dancing, you know, some ballroom dancing, and there was the odd bit of jive thrown in because it was beginning to infiltrate. You know, it was the 60s when that got going, I suspect. But it was mostly country or born, and of course the old hand on, what do they call it, the Bradford Barn Dance. So as you got to, which I hated going to, and men I didn't want to dance with. Didn't mind if I wanted to dance with them, but this just being handed on from one guy to the other, everybody seemed to love it except me. Believe it or not, all we ever drank was coffee. We never, ever dreamt of having alcohol. Would stay quite happy little two o'clock in the morning, and usually talked either politics or philosophy. Social issues, not at all like today, where they've got so much noise they can't hear each other speak anyway.
I discovered that if you drank alternate half a pint of beer and half a pint of cider, you got more lightheaded that way than just sticking with the same drink. The girls began to look more beautiful, as well, of course, with alternate drinks.
The Students' Union has remained central to the student experience. Ian Wealdon, a fine arts student in the late 1990s, talks about his memories of the union.
So the first year very much revolved around the Students' Union. And their £1 a pint kind of spectacular, which I don't think they quite do to the same level now, but they used to have a machine, used to press it, and it used to say buy one, get one free, or all your drinks free. But the union kind of played the main part, and on a Friday night at the union was normally the thing that we did. So you'd kind of get merry at home and then wander down to the union collectively as a group. And we had some really good nights there. I had some bizarre nights.
Another popular social event was, and still is, the student house party. Tony Allison, a student in the 1970s, describes events at two of his most memorable house parties.
Well, we had a reputation for running rather good ones. We were having one party once, and I was talking to a guy, so I didn't know who he was, and where are you from? Southampton. I was racking my brains, thinking, the guys that were in the house and where they came from, There's no one in this house from down there. So I said, well, who is it that you know here? I says, oh no, I don't know anyone here. But we'd heard there was a good party in Newcastle. So we thought we'd come up and give it a shot. And it turned out they'd travelled from Southampton to come to our party. We once had to call the police out, but that was us calling the police out. There was one guy at one party. For some reason, he just freaked out. He just had too much of something, and he was suddenly just out of control. The problem was that it turned out that this guy was a black belt in one of these things with weird names. So we were all kind of looking at this guy and wondering, well, which of us is going to tackle him? And we realised, well, none of us is going to tackle him.
But students didn't always restrict themselves to just campus venues and house parties. Tony Allison once again describes the interaction between students and local residents in the city's pubs during the 1970s.
And you could go in there at a lunchtime, and half of the people sitting there would be locals. There'd be old blokes with the flat cap and muffler, maybe a whippet under the table, and on the table would be a bottle of Newcastle Brown and a half-pint glass, and they're sitting there drinking the beer, talking to each other. And the other half of the clientele would be students, usually male students, probably wouldn't take women in there. But they'd be sat at the next table, and there'd be interaction. The dartboard, there may well be a couple of students playing a couple of old blokes. There was none of this, this is our pub, students aren't welcome, or the students taking over and the locals leaving because it had become a student pub. I mean, to me, the Haymarket kind of summed Newcastle and its university up. That's the way it was.
Friction between students and local residents can occur when living in close proximity. Jesmond, now typically seen as a student area, illustrates the changing dynamics of a neighborhood. But is this entirely the students' fault? Listen to both sides of the story.
It's completely different now, and I would really not like to be living Jesmond and Heaton and parts of Fenham now, because you'd be totally drowning in students. Not that I have anything against students, but they've turned family areas into total student washouts, you know. And Jesmond in particular is now student land. In those days, Jesmond was an extremely affluent area, and just a small part of it was let out to students, but that whole area has all grown now around the Osborne Road area.
A bit of a mix, I think, just because I think with Jesmond being quite a cosmopolitan area, and I think with the clientele that it draws in, I think, you know, there is a mix of locals and, you know, students and, you know, young professionals and stuff, so it is quite a vibrant feel about it.
I can assure you I have neighbours who are distraught with the noise of people going up and down this street as the pubs close, the clubs or whatever they call themselves on Osborne Road close. I don't blame students for this, because they're not all students. I blame some students, but not, you know, it's people from the city, it's people from other areas come into this area, get blotto, and then walk through it to get back to wherever they're going, because there's no alternative transport by that time.
And I know there is resentment in some parts of town where one house after another is being bought up by private landlords, and those that are left who actually live there are feeling increasingly marginalised, which I suppose elementary psychology would suggest that would breed a degree of resentment. But again, that isn't a student thing. That's demographics. That's society. It's not the students' fault that the big-time landlords are buying up every house that comes up for sale.
But are there strictly two sides to this story? Is there a definite divide between students and local residents?
One hears the expression town versus gown. I don't see it as being a town versus gown thing. I see it as being a younger generation versus older generation thing, and that has always been there throughout history. It just manifests itself in different ways in different generations.
Thank you for listening to the second installment in our series of three podcasts focusing on pranks, pints, and protests at Newcastle University. Please stay tuned for our next installment.
For more information, please log on to campustales.ncl.ac.uk.